February 26th, John Chrysostom.
Welcome to 365 Christian Men, where every day we aim to inspire and encourage with real life stories about men.
As a young man, John was severe in rejecting a life of luxury and ease. He spoke the truth plainly and in love, and people hungered for his leadership so much they virtually kidnapped him. A military escort took him to Constantinople, where he reluctantly agreed to be consecrated their bishop. On this date, in 398, John was ordained the Bishop of Constantinople. In that position, he continued speaking out against self-indulgence and sin in the clergy and within the government. He continued with the kind of talk that can make a man powerful enemies. But no enemy on earth is as powerful as God. Here is John's story.
Telling the truth may make a man enemies. Holding on to the truth will make a man strong. People loved John Chrysostom and crowded in to hear him speak. Wonderful, right? Good for the people. Good for the kingdom of God. Not so good for John's jealous enemies. John preached bluntly and repeatedly against the self-indulgent lives of the people. And while the other bishops held themselves separate from and above the people, John did not. Instead of repenting of their self-indulgent ways, the bishops mounted an insidious campaign against John. Bishop Theophilus schemed with a group of Egyptian bishops who brought 29 false accusations of immorality and high treason against John. But he refused to appear before a packed court of his enemies, and he appealed to a general council. His request was ignored. Theophilus sent a letter to the king stating, "Whereas John is accused of various offenses, and in consciousness of his guilt has refused to appear, he is by law degraded from his office of bishop, and this has to be done. The memorials include a charge of treason. Your piety therefore will command that whatever he will or not, he be expelled from his office and pay the penalty for his treason." So John was sentenced to a life of exile. As soon as John's unfair sentence became public knowledge, the people were enraged. A single word from John would have raised an insurrection. Instead, he refused to rebel or resist and surrendered himself freely to the imperial officers. He then traveled in the dark to the harbor, climbed on board a ship destined for a city at the mouth of the Black Sea. He expected he would never return. John believed all that had occurred was God's doing, that he was an oak of righteousness, one the Lord had planted. John was strengthened by the passage in Isaiah chapter 61, verse 3, that says, "To grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a spirit of fainting. So they will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified." Whether he lived or died, or was barred from his home country, John Chrysostom was determined to glorify God. He experienced peace and felt no anxiety. He said, "If Empress Eudoxia wishes to banish me, let her do so. The earth is the Lord's." He then told how Isaiah had been tortured and cut into pieces, and said he was ready to endure the same. He went on to say, "If Eudoxia wants me to be drowned in the ocean, I think of Jonah. If I am thrown into the fire, I think of the three men in the furnace who suffered the same." He then said, "If I am cast before wild beasts, I remember Daniel in the lion's den. If Eudoxia wants me to be stoned, I have before me Stephen, the first martyr. If she demands my head, let her do so. John the Baptist shines before me. Naked I came from my mother's womb, naked shall I leave this world. Paul reminds me, if I still pleased men, I would not be the servant of Christ." But the people who had converted to Christianity under John's preaching took up weapons and surrounded the palace and demanded he be restored as their bishop. The following night, an earthquake convulsed the whole city. Eudoxia's bedroom shook violently. Fright consumed her, and she felt convicted over her part in John's exile. She begged the emperor to avert the wrath of God by recalling John from exile. Messengers were sent out with humble apologies to bring him back. When John returned through Constantinople, the people rejoiced. As he entered the gates, the people swarmed him, lifted him up, and carried him to the church. They set him down in the official bishop's chair. John concluded, "For the providence of God is beyond understanding. His care is incomprehensible, his goodness is indescribable, and his love for humanity is unsearchable." Are there some heroes of faith in your life who can help you endure trials and tribulations? Telling the truth may make a man enemies. Holding on to the truth will make a man strong.
Man, February 26th, we've just heard the story of John Chrysostom, Bishop of Constantinople. My name is Chuck Stecker. I'm the executive director of A Chosen Generation. You know, the message today for me, and as I listened to everything that he went through, and, you know, being exiled, and he had this very clear image and understanding of what Daniel had gone through, John, and, you know, he had all of these different things. You know, what really struck me about this story was really the fact that he trusted God. You know, it's very easy, I think, to tell God how much we love him. I think that's easy compared to trusting God in all of our circumstances. Trusting God in who he is and that he will do what he said he will do. Isn't that really it? As he was being exiled and at the port to the Black Sea, and we could go through all of this, the thing that never wavered in the Bishop John Chrysostom's life, the love was there. He loved the Lord. That you could never doubt or take away. But you know, the thing that really stood out to me was he trusted God. You know, in the circumstances you're faced in today, whatever they may be, can you honestly say, God, I trust you with my circumstances and what you want to do in and through me? I just want to read again that last sentence from John that he concluded, "For the providence of God is beyond understanding. His care is incomprehensible, his goodness indescribable, and his love for humanity is unsearchable." All of that's true, isn't it? And at the end of that, I think it would be very easy to say, do you love God? Do you love Jesus? But here's the real question. And I think this is the one as men we've got to search. And that is, do we trust God in our circumstances and all that he wants to do in and through us? February 26th, do you trust God?